special episode of the Chamberlain's Lawcast. In this episode, we'll be discussing business management in times of crisis with some general tips and pointers on restructuring and finance maintenance. My name is Cody, and I'm here today with Stephen and Stipe. Could you both tell us a bit about yourselves?
Yeah, thanks for having us, Cody. Appreciate it. I'm a director at Quinn M&A, and as part of my practice, I help clients buy and sell businesses, provide due diligence advice, provide business valuation advice, and help clients with implementing business improvement strategies.
Thanks, Stephen. That sounds really interesting. I guess listeners would know me from our other podcast segments. I'm Steve from Chamberlain's, and I work a lot in restructuring, helping other advisors restructure their clients' businesses and helping clients of the firm find ways to improve their business through legal structuring means.
That's great. So could either of you just tell us about what type of things you are seeing out there in the economy at present?
Yeah, look, happy to have a chat about that. It's been really, really interesting over the last month, 2 months now. Hey, Steve, it's gone very, very quickly this last period of time. It's just been remarkably dramatic. You've had businesses shut down completely overnight, and you've also had a lot of businesses that have shrunk dramatically in size, and a lot of people are really doing it hard out there. What are you seeing, Steve? I imagine much the same, right?
Yeah, Steve, I think to add to that, uncertainty is a big issue. Like, I'm seeing a lot of issues with high levels of stress and almost an analysis paralysis of advisors and business owners and directors going, you know, these things have happened, or, you know, my business has collapsed, or revenue has fallen off a cliff, but I don't know what will happen, and I've never been in a position to think about it before. I don't have the tools available to me. I don't have a framework to look forward to the future. And absent a concerted effort between advisors, as a lawyer on my own, I've struggled to deal with helping people through that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always found that, you know, a joint approach with other advisors such as yourself is one of the only ways to help businesses get some clarity. You know, even if they can't get certainty, at least they can get some clarity around what they think and what they want to do and what they feel they need to do.
No, look, I totally agree. And I think so many business owners have gone through a period of complete shock, which is understandable. So by doing a joint approach, like you say, and getting some clarity, not necessarily certainty, because nothing's certain at the moment, is remarkably helpful. And I think goes a long way to helping business owners get out of that state of shock and go into a period of, you know, some form of action where they actually do stuff and try and help their situation as best as they possibly can.
Yeah, totally agreed. And look, one thing I hope our listeners get out of today and any subsequent sort of blasts we do out on social media and training we do with advisors is that, you know, it's okay to make mistakes. Part of crisis management is to take advice and act, and then to actually review on what you do, because sometimes you won't get it right, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't try something to dig yourself out of the mess that a lot of society and a lot of businesses are in right now.
Yeah, look, absolutely agree. The worst thing that business owners can possibly do right now, or advisors for that matter can possibly do right now, is to sit back and pretend like nothing's happened and nothing's going on, because the reality is completely different. I think even at this current point where we are as a country throughout this crisis, it looks like we're on the way out. Things are looking more positive. But the world on the other side of this is going to be completely different as well. So I think business owners and advisors need to gear up and get ready for the challenges that come and the opportunities that come ahead.
That's very insightful. So in your opinion, what steps should be taken by business owners in order to manage this current crisis?
Well, look, I'm not an accountant. I don't have a finance background, but, you know, cash is king. And in addition to actually just considering what people's cash flow needs are and doing the correct analysis, I actually think monitoring cash outflows and having some sort of cost cutting and spending rationalization program as a secondary step to just determining cash flows is such an important action to take at the beginning of business crisis management, because we see a lot of businesses say, hey, we've suffered this shock, revenues have declined, let's look at our cash flows, and they stop at the point where they see expected cash inflows falling off the cliff, but they don't actually think about what tools are available to them to manage cash outflows, what can they do with debt levels, what can they do with government incentives, and what can they do to their business generally to actually manage that. And managing cash outflows can be really stressful, and sometimes it's valuable to have a third-party advisor to step in to help with that.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's changed dramatically throughout the course of this crisis. I think you'd agree, Stipe.
Yeah.
It's gone from a point at the beginning whereby it was remarkably difficult for anyone to predict cash flows or cash outflows or inflows, anything on a cash flow projection with any level of certainty because the timelines of this crisis were so unclear. However, even at that early stage, the best business operators and the best advisors out there that I came across were still having a go at it and still doing their best to, at the very least, be very firm on what their outflows would be on a daily, weekly, and even monthly basis or further afield. And the parties who've done that, the business owners and the advisors who did that, are so much better placed at the moment because they've shored up their balance sheet. They know what cash is going to be there today, tomorrow, next week. The certainty that comes from that is remarkable. And it's those types of parties that are actually in a position now to go out and look for opportunities. They know where their cash balance is. They know what the world's going to look like over the next, say, couple of weeks at least. And they know that they're sitting reasonably strong. So from that point of view, they can actually capitalise on the situation, which I think is really beneficial.
Yeah, look, I think you're right, Steve. I mean, getting back to what you said about engaging with advisors, though, I had a really interesting conversation with a client who's in the construction industry, and they do predominantly infrastructure projects for the federal government. So pretty niche. So things like, you know, telecommunications infrastructure and support for NBN and various other things like that. And we're chatting on the phone, and the client said to me, you know, things are going well for the business in spite of what's happening. And I said, oh, well, how's that? How's your pipeline of new projects looking? They said, well, current projects are still continuing. Short-term projected revenues are good, but we've had two projects indefinitely delayed.
Mm-hmm.
And the second I heard that, I panicked for them.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like they just hadn't considered their projections and their strategy outside of what might happen in 90 days.
Yeah.
And so I asked them, well, what's the value of those two projects? You know, like how many projects do you have on at any one time? And they said, oh, on average, six. And instantly alarm bells. I thought to myself, why haven't you or your current advisor considered that maybe the impact of, you know, COVID-19 is just going to hit you then?
Yep.
Maybe, you know, for your business, it hasn't been as dramatic as the hospitality sector, but you should be planning right now to do something about what happens when you do lose those two projects. And I think that the time issues have presented as opportunities, but also major threats for people in business that may not have considered COVID to be as much of an impact as it actually will end up being for them.
Absolutely. I think that's a really interesting point. I've been consistently amazed at the different impacts that this crisis is having on different types of businesses. Every day when I speak to different clients, everyone has a different take on what the impact is for them. And it's so diverse. Some businesses are actually doing remarkably well at the moment, which is shocking when you look at the broader economy, right? But other businesses are just struggling. And I mean, it shows when you've got businesses that are actively needing to go and look at their fixed cost base and look at cutting significant swags of fixed costs. Things aren't pleasant throughout the broader economy, but there's certainly different businesses that are feeling the impacts in different ways.
Absolutely. And I think the opportunity that comes from that as well is completely underappreciated as well, because the opportunities that certain businesses may have through the combination with other businesses, through, you know, gaining economies of scale in an environment where maybe acquisition costs are low because business values have declined, is something that people, even great advisors, are maybe not yet feeling confident to do, because of a lack of information or a continuing degree of uncertainty. But that's something I feel that we can definitely help people with, and, you know, something people should explore.
Absolutely. I think it's almost a perfect storm for savvy business owners and advisors who are able to go out and seize opportunities. There's a lot of great opportunities out there at the moment. Businesses that have strong balance sheets or have an ability to access funding are well-placed at the moment to go out and seize opportunities. They can do that at the same time, however, is also looking at restructuring their current operations so they're well placed for the future.
Excellent. So how are you both helping clients at this time?
Look, we've been doing a lot of stuff initially with respect to landlords. I know that it's become almost, you know, ubiquitous in the media, the mandatory code, and the dealings that a lot of tenants are having with landlords, but also on the flip side, working with landlords to shore up their cash positions and analyze their balance sheets and look at their asset pools and consider what their businesses are like. So I think, you know, landlord-tenant relationship management is a very important factor to consider. And I think that a lot of advisors are not necessarily looking as deeply as they should at this issue. So to give you an example, there's a client that Stephen and I have been sort of working on an informal basis just to help them through the short term so we can work on a long-term M&A strategy. And they were approaching all of their landlords seeking the minimum under the mandatory code. And when I actually reviewed that correspondence, I noticed that a couple of their landlords were known in the market for being more generous than the mandatory code. I said, so guys, why don't you just pick up the phone? Forget about what the government's doing. Yes, it's a great incentive, but pick up the phone, just have a conversation and ask for something that works for your business, because that might still look very different to what the government has laid down as a plan. And lo and behold, for two of their five sites, landlords actually gave them deals that were better than what the government is mandating in its code. And had they not just had the foresight to ask, they just would never have got that benefit.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting case study, that one, Steve. It's just remarkable what happens when business owners come out and, I guess you'd call it taking initiative or thinking outside the box. Some of the outcomes that can come from that are fantastic. I mean, even a lot of our work as well has been going to helping clients with looking for opportunities. So acquisition opportunities is a massive one, and it's been mentioned a couple of times already, but there are some really solid opportunities out there for businesses to go out and grow their revenue base by simply buying up competitors or similar businesses that maybe aren't in such a strong position at this point in time. The market's certainly depressed, which is horrible for a lot of players out there in the market, but for people in a position to look for and find opportunities, I think there's certainly plenty of those out there. The other area that I've been seeing, and Steve and I've been seeing quite a bit, is looking at how we can help clients with restructures. So given where things are currently at, I think it's a really good idea, don't you, Steve, to look at how businesses can set up their structures again and make them more effective for not only asset protection, but also tax minimization moving forward.
Yeah, look, absolutely. And I think that there are a lot of opportunities if you look at it in the context of almost the contentious financial distress space. So a business that might have a pool of creditors who are generally understanding of what's happening, but there's just one or two participants in their, you know, supplier chain or something like that, that are just getting in the way of them making meaningful, impactful decisions to protect the viability of their business moving forward. Those businesses really need to be put in a position to make aggressive restructuring decisions for the purposes of business preservation early on. And that's a conversation I'm finding is really hard to have, because everyone thinks that the government schemes and the general indulgences that are being provided by society will be enough. And I think there's actually a lot of opportunity being left on the table where businesses aren't restructuring through safe harbor or what was safe harbor before the changes, or restructuring through voluntary administration and deeds of company arrangement, or even schemes of arrangement to tidy up shareholder issues. There's a lot of benefits that businesses could gain in addition to overcoming short-term crisis issues they're not seeing. And on the flip side, growth opportunities in the context of acquisition.
Absolutely. I think what you say about business preservation is spot on. At a time like this, the key is for people to remain in jobs and employed. And for that to happen, businesses need to survive. So sure, there's been a hell of a lot of different government packages and moratoriums on different types of insolvency legislation and rules. That's all well and good, but it's an opportune time if businesses are struggling, and especially if they were struggling before this crisis. It's probably not something that's going to go away in the same timelines as when some of these government packages and rule changes go away. I think it's going to be something that will probably hang around for the longer term. So business owners need to look at what they can do now in order to restructure and get set up so that they can preserve their businesses and also keep people in jobs. I think that's so important. And also, in conjunction with that, I think it's opportune for some businesses, especially those that might be a bit thinly spread, to even consider how they can sell off some inactive assets. Maybe it's some plant equipment, maybe it's a division of their business. Like, there's so many things for businesses to look at the moment, and we've been helping a whole host of different business owners with looking through strategies like that, which should help them longer term.
Without sounding overly positive, I think in the end, this is about business improvement. I know we say it's business crisis management. I know that it's about getting over the corona crisis and what I'm dubbing Corona Panic 2020, but it's about long-term business improvement. You know, once we know that we can preserve the business as it is or with some subtle tweaks, how do we improve the business? And giving owners and advisors some emotional and intellectual headway to actually analyze their business and, like you said, get rid of inefficient parts, shore up their balance sheets, and create a platform for moving forward. These are things that I don't think anyone is really looking at right now, and this is the opportunity to get in and do that. And this is something that we can do together with advisors to help them achieve.
Absolutely agree. It's a remarkable opportunity, I think, for businesses to take stock, to look at what they're doing, to look at how they're doing it and how they could do it better. And from that perspective, if business owners take advantage of these times as best as possible, I think the outcome from that is going to be remarkable. So totally agree.
Excellent. So just wrapping up, what can people do to find out more about the services you guys offer?
I think people can just jump online and reach out to Steve and I, reach out to Quinn M&A, reach out to Chamberlain's. We've got so many staff who have been working with clients, you know, even before this crisis on this area. Just have a general conversation. And you know, one tip for the punters, it's about streamlining and minimizing transaction costs. Whether you're downsizing, whether you're getting rid of non-core assets, whether you're revaluing, restructuring your business, whether you're acquiring, it's about an integrated approach to keep costs down. You know, traditionally, you might have separate M&A advisors on the front end, separate valuers, separate legal, separate business advisors, separate accountants, separate tax. How do you bring it all together and keep those costs down, get it done quickly, get it done cheaply, so you can actually see some benefit from those activities rather than just pissing hundreds of thousands of dollars off the wall?
No, totally agree. And just like Steve said, reach out. We're happy to have a chat with anyone, happy to have a confidential discussion with people about what they're going through, their circumstances. If we can help, fabulous. If you're doing well, we'll tell you you're doing well, and we might give you a few pointers here as to what you might be able to consider in order to do a bit better. But we're happy to have a chat. We're passionate about this stuff. We work well together, and we've got a lot of really solid ideas that can help businesses and help other advisors out there in the market to do better moving forward. So we think that's the best way about this.
Excellent. Thank you, Steve and Stephen, for joining us today for this special episode. We appreciate the important insight given today. And we also thank our listeners for joining us once again.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. As with all Chamberlain's Law Firm podcasts, the information that you have heard in this podcast is not legal advice and cannot be considered legal advice. If you have any questions or queries, please do not hesitate to contact our office on 02 6188 3600 or otherwise look us up on our website, which is www.chamberlains.com.au.